You're listening to the Digital Strips Podcast, the first
and best
webcomics podcast on the planet, and the one show you certainly wouldn't want to see a bunch of clones of hanging around. I am your host, and I am known for my knee problems and trust issues, but celebrated for my firearms knowledge and technical know-how. I am Jason the Midnight Cartooner Sigler. With me as always, he is capable of stitching up his own knife wounds, which is good news because it's just him and the dog now. He is Steve the Geek Shinny.
Also, I'm not afraid of bears.
Also, he's not afraid of bears.
Thank you.
That's the last thing
like,
somebody says.
Once I found out I was going to be Connor, I'm like, ooh, not afraid of bears, not afraid of bears.
That's the last thing you hear in a news report where somebody was mauled by a bear. They are now dead. He was known for his lack of fear of bears.
I would love that on my tombstone. Was not afraid of bears. Ellipsis. Probably should have been.
I'd love for that to be on your tombstone, but you didn't die from a bear attack. You just died of like natural causes. He was not afraid of bears.
Let the record show.
Yes. I was told to get my part of the inheritance, I have to read this note. He did not fear a bear. Thank you. Fold it back up, put it in my coat pocket, sit down.
My grandfather feared no man nor bear alive. But a man riding a bear took him down. What does that teach all of us?
Always be the man riding the bear.
Exactly.
Not a tough lesson. I had to learn that one very quickly.
And yet you won't ride a bear. I guarantee you, if there was a race between the two of us to see who rides a bear first, it ain't you.
I mean, so many questions. Like, how does it have a saddle? Is this bear?
No, you ride bareback
to some degree. I missed that. What'd you say?
You ride bareback.
There you go.
No see, saddle.
If you say something while I'm talking, I can't hear you.
When you set me up for that quips. Level of dad joke, I'm gonna crosstalk you.
Well, I. Dad jokes beat crosstalk. Got it. Podcasting 101. We are talking about a comic. That comic is called Nunsuch. And is brought to us by a very large creative team. I'm going to try and get them all if I miss somebody because the team changes here and there. It's malleable and pliable. Then I apologize. But Megan Redman is on story and art duties. We have Audrey Fitch, who is in charge of background and shading, also choreography. We'll get to that when we talk about how webcomics can have choreography. Martha Haynes has done some shading and arrangement. She's also an exporter and a secretary. And I have Amani Kabwe. She has done some editor duties, and also Valerie Alamania. So quite a few people involved in this comic, and I think that shows, because I think this is a at by the time I was done reading it, I was all in, scrolling as fast as I could down webtoons, which, you know, is a I think a testament to a good webtoon, because you just keep scrolling because you just got to get that story in your eye holes as fast as possible. So this is the story of Bridget and Connor. Bridget and Connor find themselves stuck on the side of a road one night. And things devolve from there. We go into kind of an M. Night Shyamalan-like nightmare world where immediately, I can't remember if it's Connor or Bridget. I think it's Bridget sees like a clone of herself. And then we're off. She chases into the woods, finds a cabin, finds another person lives at that cabin. Meanwhile, Connor has the exact same experience, but with himself. Sees a clone of himself, and he ends up somewhere else with the dog, who is Bridget's mom's dog, I believe she says. Trudy is the name of the dog. And so they get split up, and we are dealing with a sci-fi world here of clones, and we learn more about these clones from the woman that Bridget ends up with in the cabin, who is Shannon, we later find out. And with Shannon comes religious, I won't even say overtones, just religious implications. And I had to note at this point when this all happened that this has to hit a certain place for me because this sounds so much like the setup and honestly the ending of Lost.
Does
where
it?
You get really cool story that's a mystery. It's like, what is going on here? It's clearly some sci-fi in there. And then the whole thing ends up being a religious allegory.
Okay.
So, yeah, it tracks, trust me. And so, yeah, I mean, twists and turns take us here and there. And Bridget and Connor have actually crossed paths. And not necessarily their clones, like they actually have connected, they just didn't realize it, and Connor actually shut Bridget up in a bank vault, which was mean on so many levels, mostly because he knows she's claustrophobic, but he thinks it's a clone, so he's going to shut it in there to, you know, get it to talk and give him some answers, and then only later realizes, oh crap, that was actually my fiance, and now I'm she's there, so she's safe.
So
when he goes through that whole thing of like, oh man, that was actually my feel, oh, she's gonna kill me. Well, if she's in there, at least she's okay. She'll be fine.
So something that you've left out, I believe, or maybe I missed it, is that they're stuck in this weird parallel dimension that they cannot leave alone. They need to leave together, and that why hasn't been explained, but they know that, and they need to find the real them amongst all the clones. And the clones are actively trying to kill Connor. So it's a weird trusting. He knows that the clones of Bridget can't hurt him, but the clones of him are trying to kill him. So it's like a zombie situation, but instead of shooting the decrepit corpse of your neighbor, you're literally shooting yourself. And that's a fascinating psychological twist. There's a lot of intrigue. Like, they can't lie to the clones to get fake information. The clones slowly learn more how the other one acts. The more Bridget interacts with them, the more the clones become like her. And I really think it has escalated very interestingly. It starts with an interesting twist or interesting posit. You're like, oh, okay, zombies, but they look like me. But then the zombies become smarter and they start working together. And there's some kind of elaborate plan that they're working on to win. I don't know what, but they refer to it as winning. And yeah, there's a lot going on here, and it's pretty cool.
It is. Before I get to nitpicking and picking things apart, I will say, yes, it is cool. And I am all in. I have to know how this story wraps up. I have to know where it goes. I love it. The lostness of it has drawn me in, and I am addicted. Now, some sci-fi lore bits that we've also gotten: when they do shoot these clones or whatever, or kill them, they don't die. They can't die. They come back. If you chop off any of their limbs, that becomes either, it just falls off and they regrow it like almost immediately, or it can become food. There's times when they order Bridget orders food, from one of the clones, and basically says like, oh, I want it to be green beans. And so when she chops off the arm of the clone, boom, it just becomes green beans and like fresh cooked green. It's very weird. And again, don't think about it too hard, because there's who knows what the science would be behind this of why these clones can become food.
It makes no sense, but it does raise the first of many psychological questions I want to ask you. What food would you be willing to cut off your own hand for if you knew your hand would grow back?
Oh, if it would grow back, anything.
But you felt the pain.
I mean, I would never have to go out for fast food anymore. It wouldn't matter where I lived, because I could just say, what do I feel like today? I want to have a McRib and a Crunchwrap and maybe a Baja. Well, I probably couldn't do Baja Blast. That would have to be like urine or something, and that's probably gross.
I mean, she could make a vodka out of her.
That's so true. She did make vodka somehow. So, yeah, if it's going to be exactly that thing, or it seems like exactly that thing, I mean, I would like to know eventually maybe the dietary limitations of this. Like, what is this actually going into my body? Is this, what is it coming in, and what is being processed and all that? But yeah, absolutely. If it's going to grow back, 100%, no problem. Whatever I want. It's all mine. Do I want to have a steak dinner every night? Yep. Chop, chop. 5 minutes later, steak dinner, baked potato. You got it.
What would you be willing to cut off your wiener for?
again, if it grows back and doesn't hurt in the process,
it hurts. Like, it hurts.
No. That's not necessarily true, because these clones do not seem to feel pain. Like, they don't scream in pain whenever something's chopped off. It's like, all right, you want that to be green beans? Go. Chop.
Yeah, thanks. But you faint at the sight of blood. I can't imagine what you'd do at the sight of your dismembered member.
There's no blood. And there's no... again, if we're going by this comic, which... this is another thing to talk about. The art style is very... it's like shapes, almost. It's there are certain panels where it did remind me of South Park. And not in a bad way. But it just... It's very crude and... If you really break things down, some elements down into like their basic parts, I'm like, I can see the shapes that were used to create this like vector image that mm-hmm. is now being reused. Like, there's one where it's like a bullet casing that I think Connor's holding up a bullet casing in his fingers. So it's close up, but then you can tell that the person took that bullet casing and just shrunk it down and used the exact same image again on the floor to say like, yeah, there's a bullet casing that's laying on the ground, or it's the same one or whatever. And that's fine. I'm a nut, so I notice stuff like that. But if you break down a lot of other things, like hands here and there and other things, it falls apart. But that's true of South Park, too. Like, just freeze frame anything and look at Cartman's hands, even like modern Cartman. And it's a misshapen. It's like, that doesn't even look like a mitten anymore. That doesn't even look like a hand. What is that? And it's like, don't think about that, because it's in motion, and the way it's moving and everything makes sense. Like, this is a human being, even though it's, you know, short, squat, little cartoon boy. And I think, I don't know if that's where the choreography of this comic comes in. I've never seen that credit in a comic before, but there is a movement to the posing, the way these characters act is extremely lifelike, and not just in the clone aspect. I'm not talking about like outside the concept of the comic. Like, I believe them. Like, I believe Bridget especially. She has these mannerisms and the way she sits and slouches and everything. It just, she totally sells me on this girl who has a syndrome. I have it written down because it's one I've never heard of and I don't know if it's real. Yeah, she has some syndrome that is her deteriorating, like her knees or her bones in general. I'm not sure. And so she's got really bad knees. She can't run. So that's another aspect of her. Every time she tries to escape, she, you know, collapses and just screams at her own knees. And it's just like, come on, you've got to work. I've got to get away from these things. So yeah, all that to say, it's a very lifelike comic. As long as you just read it as a comic, like keep reading it sequentially and everything. If you stop and look at any one page, it's going to be like, oh, well, that doesn't make any sense. And that's that doesn't even look like a, okay, well, I can't, but
okay.
Yeah. It's impressive in that way, because it keeps moving. It's a very good comic. If you stop and look, it's going to be like, wait, what was that? No. Keep moving. Keep reading the story.
Yeah. I never really noticed that, but I didn't slow down at all and really take anything apart. I did notice that the posing, especially like you said, of Bridget, evolves, and that's actually how you could tell the real Bridget from the clones at first, is how she would stand. It took them a while to pick up her mannerisms and how she stood, which I thought was a phenomenal detail, that as they learned about her and how she acted, they got better at standing like her and smirking like her and stuff like that, which is phenomenal. So I was really impressed by that. And I was impressed by the art style quite a bit. I quite liked it, but I didn't slow down and look for copy pastes. So,
and it's you're also dealing with clones, so you're going to get a lot of copy and paste. Otherwise, you're gonna drive yourself insane, and that's absolutely fine. And it works, especially in context of this comic. That works. Like this Connor that's closer up can be this exact same Connor that's further back, and they both look like separate clones because of how you've written the story and said, like, you know, they learn from each other, so this one's just repeating what that one does, so they are basically mirror images of one another, or the copies. So it works. Going back to what you said about, you know, they know that they have to escape together and blah blah blah, it's stories like this where I hate that aspect of it, because, and again, hate in terms of the story, not that the actual like overall product. I love this comic, but I hate that they're like, oh, well, we've figured this out. Now we know what we need to do. It's like, no, you haven't. You haven't figured out anything. You learned what this woman told you. You haven't even convinced yourself that she's not a liar. Also, she has at least one clone going around now that's also, that is the liar and is super religious to a fault. And so you don't know what you know. And that's, again, going back to Lost, that was part of that, was like, oh man, now they figured it out and they know what to do and they're going to resolve it. It's like, no, they don't. They think they know what they know, but they don't know anything. And I think that's the case here with Connor and Bridget. Like, they think that that's what they have to do to get out of here, but maybe not. Maybe that has nothing to do with it. And they're just, you know, being fed false information, or they've just convinced themselves. I mean, Connor several times convinces himself, all right, now I know what's going on. I know what to do. And like you said, he goes out with the other Connors and he's like, all right, as long as I don't confront them, they'll be cool. They'll be fine. And then one stabs him in the arm. It's like, wait, I didn't. Well, that doesn't make any sense. All right, got to put that in my notes. Also, ow, my arm. That is a specific callback to one moment where he has stitched his arm up. He got a big old knife gash in his arm. He stitched it up. He's recovering from it. He's bandaged it, and hopefully it's getting better. And then he shoots a sawed-off shotgun, and the kickback tears the stitches. And oh, mm-hmm. my goodness, that panel, mm-hmm. the way it was drawn and depicted, oh, I didn't like that. Yeah. I did like it, but I didn't like it.
That's something I really appreciate about this comic, is that it doesn't do a lot of the horror tropes, whereas these people are not incapable. They're not stupid. They're very capable. They're very smart, especially in the ways that would help in this situation. They're both work at a gun shop. Connor is a park ranger, so he knows a lot of woodscraft. They're both competent, capable people, which means that they can confront this, but they also have major flaws. It's Bridget's knee and her claustrophobia, and now Connor's arm. He doesn't come in with a major disadvantage. He actually has a lot of advantages, that he's so antisocial, he doesn't talk to people, and the clones have a hard time with people who are like that. But he cuts his arm, so now he's in the same thing, and it's very Hitchcockian. It's like Rear Window, is that the one about the guy in the wheelchair taking pictures of people? Yeah, yep. It's a lot like that, where these people do know what's going on, at least in some level, and if it turns out that everything is a lie, that's probably gonna suck. But they are getting little bits here and there, and they're moving forward, but they know that they have a weakness. They have a blind spot. They have something that can destroy them, and the clones are learning what those are, and that's cool.
Yeah, it really does all add up to an awesome story. It is, like you said, with Rear Window, it's kind of a small character study of these two characters, these two types of characters, with the backdrop of a sci-fi mystery setting, and that is just it feels like it's begging to be made into a screenplay, and this should be a movie. Like a nice contained little movie that
I'd watch that.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely.
Or a Netflix limited series.
Yeah, something. Yeah,
I don't know if episodes would probably be the perfect length for this.
Yeah, and I don't know. I won't get into whether you keep the animated style or go with actual people. I think it can work either way, but it's really compelling, and it's with outside of the clones, which you can't keep track of, like, this is clone 9, you can tell because she wears such and such, and this one is you don't bother with that. So we really only have like three, if you count the dog, four characters in this comic. We have Shannon. Shannon's clone seems to be sentient enough that I would maybe call her a different character, because she's super religious, all about you're both being punished here, and you're in purgatory, and you will not escape here until you repent, and you basically you have to die. You don't deserve to leave here because you've done so many bad things. And there is a quick flashback to Shannon when she was younger, and her mom takes her to task for, she shuts down a friend because the friend reveals that judgmental. She had sex.
Yeah.
Well, she had sex out of wedlock.
Right.
And so she tears her to shreds of how dare you? Like, that is so against everything we believe in. How could you? And then the girl leaves with her mom, and the mom's, of course, just like, we have things to talk about. And then her mom verbally slaps her across the face and is just like, how dare you? Like, don't even say anything. So we get that background of Shannon being a little higher than, or holier than thou. And, but then the new Shannon, the one that we come across in the cabin and everything, and that Bridget and Connor interact with, is a little chill, more chill. And she's learned the ways of this area. And so she's learned to live with that. But her clone definitely is not. And that makes for an interesting dichotomy. And I also just recently learned that, you know, she killed the clone and put it 6 feet under. And was like, I thought I'd been done with it, but nope, apparently it's clawed its way back through the dirt. And now it's back and here to raise hell, literally, possibly. And yeah, so it's got a lot of red herrings. It's got things to think about, but I just find it all so compelling. I found three or four different pages where I was scrolling. Like I like stepped back and I was like, how fast am I scrolling this page? Like I'm trying to get through this. I'm like, oh man. Oh no. Oh boy. Next page. And you got me that like that on a webtoon. You got me hooked. So
yeah.
Really, really, really like this comic. It is a one to remember on webtoons. And if you haven't checked it out, definitely go read this comic. I think if you're a fan of those tropes, of those genres, if you like character studies, I mean, there's a lot here for lots of different types of people. And I think, yeah, I say this often, you'll find something to enjoy in this comic, but I really do think so if you stick with it. And it gets going immediately. Like it's not, they are in the car. And I think in the first comic you see a clone and it's just like, oh, what's going on here? And then you're off. And it really doesn't ever let up. There's nice, quieter moments when the individual characters are whatever, but it ratchets up then again pretty quickly. So it's got a good flow and I'll stop gushing, but it is an amazing comic. You should go read this.
Absolutely. Yeah. Agree 100%. Really fun. Enjoyed all the time I spent reading with it and very curious how it's going to wrap up.
Yeah, I feel like it'll probably be wrapping up, and unless they go like the whole, well, now new people have found this area, now this is their chance to right the wrong and figure things out. And I don't know, it feels like the kind of story that would tell these character story and then probably be done. But
I would hope so, kind of.
Yeah, I do too. I don't want to wear out its welcome and it just be this perfect little ish story. But yeah,
good stories end.
They do, and they should, and this one will eventually. But you should go read it right now after I do my outro. And that will do it for this episode of Digital Strips. If you have any comments about anything we talked about in this episode or suggestions for future episodes, you can find us on Twitter. The show is at Digital Strips. I am Jason the Midnight Cartooner Sigler.
I will always be Steve the Geek Shinny.
Wrong.
Oh, sorry. I'm getting woozy. I am Idahobo.
Or if you prefer, you can head over to our website. That is digitalstrips.com. You can leave us a comment there in the show notes. You can also reach us by email. That email address is digitalstrips@gmail.com. We give special thanks to Chime and Adam Tell for our music, which is from their song Hole. You can find Hole along with many other great copyright-free songs on YouTube, SoundCloud, and Spotify. If you like this show, I have great news. We do another one. The show featuring two guys who have never met in real life and who hopefully have no clones out there that they know about, giving each other plenty reasons to stick to that decision of never meeting in real life. Not having clones. That's also a decision to stick to.
That was the other psychological question I wanted to ask you is, could you kill a clone of me?
I mean, a clone?
If we were stuck in this world, do you think we could get out? And would you kill my clones?
I mean, I would kill the clones, absolutely, yeah. They're not going to die. They're going to keep coming after me. And
they might be me. You'd never know.
Stupid dad jokes. I think I could tell. I think you'd put on a stupid hat, and I'd be like, yep, that's Steve. I'll leave him alone.
They'll all have stupid hats.
Well, no, you have baseball hats now. Wear a stupid hat.
Ah, okay. This is smart. We've come up with a safe word should we ever end up in this situation. I like it.
So the podcast I was talking about is called Then You Ruined It. You can find that podcast along with Digital Strips on pretty much any podcast platform you use. If those platforms allow for 5-star reviews, please leave us those. We really crave them. Like delicious turkey legs that have been chopped off at the bone.
That sounds good. I'd eat a turkey leg right now.
Me too, but I don't know why I got turkey leg out of leg. That was very uninventive. Should have been something else out of leg, but leg out of leg. Oh. There you go. I'm tired, folks. But until next time, for Digital Strips, I am Jason, the Midnight Cartooner Sigler.
I will always be Steve the Geek Shinny.
Thank you very much for joining us, and we'll see you in the fourth panel, where I still think the dog is up to something.
The dog's behind it all.
that would be the worst inning. That would definitely be one that's like, you rushed through the game and you didn't get any of the secrets, so here's your bad inning. The dog did it.